Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the first weekly conversation in 2019. I am back, folks. Thank you for tuning into the conversation tonight. Former Representative Trey Gowdy spoke to Martha McCowan on the challenges Trump faces. I want to get into that, folks. I want to get into the fact that John Bolton is talking about the national security issues with in regards to Syria, and I love it because he wants to ensure that we're there in Syria until ISIS is wiped out. We just can't up and leave. He wants to have a clear strategy for getting out, and I think that is awesome. I also want to get into tonight on the program, folks. I want to get into Christian Bale and how he played Dick Cheney and calling himself Satan and all this stuff and just some sick stuff. And I want to get into a U.S. steelmaker, Norco, said Monday that they're going to spend $1.35 billion to build steel production facilities in the Midwest, creating over 400 full-time jobs. That's jobs coming back to America, folks. You know, that sucks. I mean, why do we want that? Why do we want America great? I mean, God, we don't want to put America first. What a president we have. I want to thank you for tuning in. Tonight, I want to talk about the Surgeon General is actually talking about reclassifying America, the marijuana in America, to a Schedule 2, so it can actually be tested and prescribed. I want to talk about a Pennsylvania high school that is in a fight because there are people that want to read the Bible and hand out the Bible, and they're saying it's, they can't do that, and they're saying it's a constitutional violation, and also, I'm going to get into some Manchester United news at the end in the Premier League section. So welcome to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of, folks, and I hope you do. I want to get into, okay, Isaiah 55, 6 through 7. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And right now, the president is actually speaking from the Oval Office. I want to get into that big time because I just don't understand all these liberals that were, we need to have national security. We need to have, we need to protect our borders. We need to do all this stuff. And now that Trump wants it, everyone's against it. We're not we're a nation of immigrants, folks. My ancestors came here legally, but we're also a nation of laws. And, something has to be done. And they've tried to do it under Bill Clinton, under Barack Obama, all these different, but, now it's wrong, it's bad, it's evil. And I'm going to get into that, and thank you for tuning into the conversation. I hope you feel a part of. And, I took some time off because my blood pressure was about 1,000 degrees Kelvin, so I'm on medications. And New Year's Eve, I was supposed to go out and didn't do anything because of a headache. And my mom's like, you need to get your blood pressure checked. I don't think it's a headache. And my blood pressure was really, really high, so I'm on medications and getting with my doctor and stuff like that. So welcome back to the first show of 2019. And we have this world that's like ever-changing because, we have all these people that sit there and say, wait a minute here, folks. How can we can't have a wall. Do you support human trafficking? It's amazing.
It is.
They said they legalized cannabis in Colorado. How they had to increase the quality of cannabis coming from Mexico. Because, who's going to buy that swag if you can get some really high-end stuff from Colorado. And there's talk about now that hemp is legal, you know, will it drive down, we believe it's going to drive down the price of CBD oil. Because when you go to, we have a place called Fresh Time where I live, and they sell Charlotte's Web and other high-end CBDs. What people don't realize is that's ridiculous. Like, 1 ounce bottles, 2 ounce, but like $99. Depending on what milligram strength you get or whatever, if it's like 250, 500, or whatever the case may be, it's ridiculously expensive. But when they legalized it, guess what? They had to have the quality. You know, there are people flooding across this border. Something needs to be done. I mean, because then these people will, then we're going to offer citizenship and we're going to give benefits to these illegals when there are people that are legally going through the process, legally trying to become American citizens, supporting America, waving the flag. You know, if you think socialism is so great, look at France. They're having civil wars over in that country because of taxes. But then you have like Ocasio Cortez that wants to tax 70%. Well, okay, tax 70% of your income. I'm very libertarian. I want limited government. You know, I see Trump as someone that is like, hey, I have a business. The more this government is doing what it's doing, the harder it is for me to run my business. This, you know, that's why I don't get it, because I've supported Trump for a long time because of things he said. And he's doing what he said. He's said the same thing since the 80s. Okay, these countries hate us. They're burning our flag. If they're burning our flag, why do we support them? Why are we giving them money? Why are we helping them out? Why are we giving them money? That's what doesn't get me. You know, he's kept the same tone. A lot of people haven't kept that same tone. A lot of people haven't. Hillary Clinton used to hate gay marriage. Get marriage between a man and a woman, and she'd get booed for it. But now she loves gay marriage. She used to be for this. Now she's for that. I mean, she used to be for things. Now she's against stuff. They flip-flop. Whether you like Trump or not, you can't disagree that he hasn't changed his stance on 90% of what he believes in, 95% of what he believes in. I haven't changed my stance. It's about time we do something to stop human trafficking. Yes, we have families that are being separated at the border. Something needs to be done. When you have people from Mexico that try to come across the border on vacation when they're pregnant, because there used to be a loophole that, hey, if you're born here, boom, you're an American. Well, since my son was born here and he's an American, I want to stay here. Well, technically, by law, he is a Mexican citizen also. So, because you're Mexican and you know, you don't have the right to stay here. You should go back to where you're from. I don't see, and that's the thing that always gets me. Why aren't people in Venezuela fighting for their country? Why aren't Mexicans fighting to make their country better? You know, I complained when Trump was president. No, I didn't. I like Trump. When Obama was president, I complained about him. I didn't berate him. I would never want him dead. I would never want him hurt. I disagreed with his policies and the way he tried to run this country. But I respected him. I didn't bash his kids. I talked to several times about there's videos that, you know, that if you look at a man's hand, this is a man's hand. This finger is 9 times out of 10 longer than this. And, you know, Michelle has these features that some people think she is a man, whether she is or not, who knows. But I didn't diss people in this country. I didn't diss, you know, they trashed Trump. I didn't trash Obama. I disagree with what he tried to do in this country, but that's where it ended, folks. That's where this country ended. It's this, how dare you criticize. It's wrong to criticize. It's okay to criticize Bush and Trump, but how dare you? You don't go after my kids. You know, my ancestors came here legally. We have laws in this country for a reason. And that's what gets me about this whole Trump situation, because all these people, how dare Trump do this? You know, the Michigan senator that's like, F Trump and we're going to F and impeach Trump. Okay, well, don't bitch about Flint water being bad if you're electing someone who's just going to impeach Trump. The problem we have in this United States, there are places that have way worse water than Flint. But show me where Flint, Michigan is a conservative libertarian state or area. No. Flint, Michigan is in a very, very liberal state, not in a conservative libertarian state. I love y'all. But that's where we are in this country. We're a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. You know, like Trey Gowdy said, like, you know, okay. Tons of Democrats supported border funding for national security. What changed, America? You know, we're not yellow, white, black, brown. We're Americans. We need to start acting like it. I posted a picture on my thing that says, had Ronald Reagan, it goes, Mr. Trump, build that wall. I'm just trying to find out that part in the Constitution where it says, you know, we're going to impeach Trump on the grounds of hating him. You know, that's just me, but lots of Democrat senators voted for physical barriers funding in the past. What changed? Why all of a sudden? Because like I've said, and if you're new to the program, thank you for tuning in. But my point is with this whole thing is, like him or hate him, he hasn't changed his stance on a lot of issues. He's like, this is what I stand for. This is what I believe in. Yeah, I could see running for president if stuff doesn't change. But it does. No, it hasn't. Stuff hasn't changed. That's why he's like, well, crap, we're going to defend you. You're going to pay. We're going to defend you. You're going to pay. Our security isn't free. Hey, I'll help you decorate for your birthday, but I want something in return. Okay, let me have a piece of cake and I'll whatever, you know. Hey, guess what? I made your wedding cake. That's your wedding gift. One of my aunts made a wedding cake. Oh, and she's like, well, he's a professional chef. And then I'm like, I was in tears. Yeah. That's the only reason I hate being a chef, because everyone thinks I'm going to be hypercritical of their cooking. I'm like, wow, someone's going to cook for me for a change. Nice. I mean, I am kind of hyper because I know like what I like. So when I make an omelet, I know exactly how I want it. And where it's just one of those things, like I'm just like, stuff like that, but if you say, hey, I'll make you grilled cheese, I'm not gonna. Yeah, here's some gluten free bread. Have fun at it. You know, you're gonna make lasagna as long as it's gluten free and veggie. I don't care. Go for it. But you know, it's a give and take America. You know, Trump's not gonna get everything he wants, but he hasn't changed his stance. He hasn't sat there and said, okay, well, guess what? You know what? I'll tell you what. Just so you know, okay, I don't know if you know it, but, you know, gay, Gay marriage is a huge issue. I support it now. I need your votes. I want your vote. The Democratic response. Nancy Pelosi's giving the Democratic response because how dare we have a wall? How dare you want to protect this nation? Oh, well then, Nancy Pelosi, I got one word for you. When are you taking down the wall around your mansion? Here's the thing, and I've said this before, when they were trying to nab our guns under Barack Obama, when they tried to take away our guns, I didn't hear, I support gun control. And what I mean gun control is, cops will not be able to have guns. Our military will not be able to have guns. Politicians will not be able to own guns. The people protecting them will not have guns. Guns will be banned. And you know who will support that? All the gangs, all the drug dealers. Nancy Pelosi makes me want to vomit. Yeah, I'm on this new blood pressure medication, which kind of gets it a little nauseated until I guess you get used to it. But I just look at her. Nancy Pelosi is what happens when you have too much cigarettes and booze when you're pregnant. Her and that Ocasio Cortez. We need to tax people. I think we shouldn't get a paycheck. I think you should just everything should be free. As long as you have a 40-hour-a-week job, you should. Well, actually, I work way more than 40 hours a week. My last paycheck coming up is 125 hours. And I do a conversation. But as I move forward, John Bolton, he's clarifying the steps in Syria, because it's not just going to be, Trump is getting the troops out of Syria. What does that mean? What that means is, with the Syria, we've got to take steps to get out of there. We got to make sure that ISIS is done. We got to make sure that they're as dead as they can be, that they're not just laying low and not doing anything, and hopefully Trump will get them out of there. And then we can start right back up. Because that's what happens. we're gonna sit there and play dead. And, let's not do anything. Let's hide. And then as soon as Trump's gone and the troops are gone, then let's start out. Let's go back in. And, no. So there may be troops on the ground for a while. But we're having an exit plan. See, the problem we have with Trump is, and of course, someone's going to edit this and say, well, he said the problem with Trump, and they're going to cut and paste this. But here's my point, folks. No matter what Trump does, he's not going to be right. If North Korea would have attacked us and Trump did nothing, why didn't he act? Why didn't he do something? Why didn't he try to protect America? But if he would have done something, here, another Republican, another war. I truly believe this. And I truly, honestly believe this. If Trump was a liberal, they'd be kissing his ass for saying the damn same things. Because if you look, 95% of what Trump is saying is word for word plagiarism of what Barack Obama said, what Hillary Clinton said, what Bill Clinton said, what all these liberals said in the past. I would love to ask Nancy Pelosi a question. And I'd be like, okay, I got a question for you, Nancy. 99% of what Trump has said, or 95% of what Trump has said, is word for word something that was said by Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Bill Clinton. Why haven't any of you said, wait a minute, why are you plagiarizing? Why can't you come up with your own speech? Why is this phrase here about being a nation of immigrants and a nation of laws? Why are you plagiarizing? If that was a book, Trump would be plagiarizing if he didn't. What he needs to do when he has these speeches is Trump needs to clarify. Yeah, when I talk about we're a nation of immigrants and we're also a nation of laws, this is something that Bill Clinton and Barack Obama supported. What I'm saying right here is basically word for word what's come out of Barack Obama's mouth and Bill Clinton's mouth. So if you got a problem with what I'm saying, I hope you had a I can understand if you have a problem with what Trump is saying now, but you didn't agree with it when Bill Clinton said it or when Barack Obama said it, then I'm all cool with that, because then at least you're consistent. I had a caller a couple weeks ago calling and said, do you think that if you can get money borrowed from the government, should you pay it back? You know, like these auto industry people and the auto industry people with the bailouts and, like, you know, Halliburton and Enron and all these companies that are getting money and all these kickbacks. Yeah, they should. When you have all these politicians that are like, hey, what's up? You know, I work in the government, so I'm going to have politicians. I'm going to, you know, hey, I'm going to hook you up. You know? You know, that's why I like, you know, if we stay in Syria, how, well, I thought Trump was going to get troops out. Well, yes, he is going to slowly get troops out. What's going to happen, if you dimwits don't know this, is ISIS is just going to lay low and hopefully, hey, look, everything's great. Let's get out. And as soon as we get out, they're going to start, they're going to regroup. They're going to get more people. They're going to start taking over territories. They're going to just come right back. It's a no-win situation. No matter what Trump does, he's going to be wrong. You know, and I love how John Bolton's like, hey, this is the steps we're going to do to ensure we're defeating ISIS. We're getting out of Syria in steps to ensure that we don't just get out and all of a sudden ISIS, that's kind of laid low, is now going to regroup and come back and be even more stronger and take over the country. We got to make sure that Turkey must promise not to target Kurdish troops in their country. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but, you know, because I had someone ask me about that one time, about, you know, Kurdish, you know, do you think that there's ever going to be a truce between the Kurdish troops and Turkey? I don't know. I think everyone's going to try to lay low and play. It's sort of like two people in school. Yeah, let's kiss and make up, and they basically okay, but in their sign language, it's like at 9 o'clock, you're going down. You're here at 9 o'clock. You're dead. You know. Well, with the teacher, they're oh everything's hunky dory, but you know when a kid goes up. Oh, you know, at 9 o'clock, it's down. It's on, man. They're gonna fight to the death. You know that, right? They're just playing. They're just pretending like they like each other. You know. I mean, that's what people don't realize. Everyone's gonna try to play. Everything's all nice and wonderful, until. Just play along, and hopefully everyone will leave. And then when they leave, then we'll fight. You know, we're gonna kiss butt. And act like everything's hunky-dory and lay low. And then as soon as everyone leaves, then we'll have the fight. Once the teacher, the principal, all that's gone, that's what we got to make sure doesn't happen in ISIS. With ISIS and Turkey and all that stuff. With the Kurds. We need to make sure, okay, as soon as we leave, is ISIS just going to come right back? Or are we going to make sure that they're gone? I didn't even, one of my friends was watching, yeah, the Golden Globes. I don't even know this stuff anymore. I'm watching this crap anymore. But, you know, Dick Cheney's daughter blasts Christian Bale, who played Dick Cheney, calling himself Satan. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that I guarantee you, if this was a Republican doing it to a liberal, that would be front page news everywhere. How dare that actor mock that? How dare he? It'd be like a thou shalt not kill. I mean, you might as well not even have that issue. You know, you might as well be conservative. It's okay for liberals to bash Trump's kids or anybody. But if we were to do it, Lord help you. How dare you? And no, I'll make fun of Obama. I'll make fun of Bill Clinton, but That's just, you know, how dare you insult the president? No, I'm just making fun of Obama. And he's not a president, he's a dictator. You know, he shut down the government to shove Obamacare down our throats. And how dare he? I think the shutdown of the government's great. Keep it going. I think I might try to find a way to put like a countdown calendar on here. Okay, we're like 21. I told one of my friends, I said, the government shutdown's great. Just keep it going. Are you serious? I'm like, yeah, why not? The longer the government shut down, the more people realize that they're worthless and a waste of space. No way. Yeah, that's great, because the longer it's shut down, that's why they don't want the government shut down, because then they'll actually have people waking up to realize that, hey, nothing, it's not like, sorry, folks, but just because the government shuts down doesn't mean we're going to go into total anarchy. It's not going to happen, folks. They're a joke. It's sort of like that picture of the government job where it has like one guy screwing in a light bulb and like 25 people around him inspecting him. It's hilarious. There's one like where there's like one guy working in a manhole cover and like 50 people watching him, and it's like it's a government contract. Oh, wow. These photos are hilarious. But this is crazy. A Pennsylvania high school's Bible ban is unconstitutional, students say. This is nuts. Mechanicsburg Area Senior High School. A group of Christian students at a Pennsylvania high school said they are fighting their right to free speech after being told they cannot hand out Bibles to their friends during lunchtime. Now, I've never handed out, you know, we never really bought Bibles to school. Most people didn't. But in November, a Bible club at Mechanicsburg Area Senior High School was denied a request to pass out Bibles at school. The club said that the school has until Monday to rescind the ban. We are hoping not to sue, said Jeremy Semitic, a senior counsel for the Independent Law Center, which is representing the students. Semitic said the school's ban is unconstitutional, and that's right. You should be able to hand out the Quran. You should be able to hand out a Bible. It'd be neat to have, what do you believe as a Buddhist? Is there a book that you read? You know, I would have no problem I wouldn't want it to be, because like they've had prayer rooms in the past where, well, no, this prayer room's only here because these people bitched that since they had to have a prayer room for Muslims at the school, they have to allow Christians or else there'd be, if they had a prayer room that only allowed Muslims to pray in it, and you couldn't have Jewish people or Christian people, there'd be lawsuits so fast they couldn't win. So, and said, well, see, we're inclusive. I said, not really, because if it wasn't for the Muslims, this prayer room wouldn't even exist. It wouldn't exist. This prayer room wouldn't exist because the prayer room is only there because the Muslims demanded it. If a Christian tried to demand it, now if they came out and hey, we want to have a multicultural prayer room for any denomination can pray, whether it's a Christian, whether it's a Baptist, whether it's a Methodist, whether it's a Jew, whether it's a Hindu, whatever, where you can go meditate. I was just a joke at work because people get like a, what was it? What did they do? Like a cigarette break? Yeah, I'm going to go have a cigar break. Yeah, you smoke cigarettes. I smoke cigars. I'll be back in an hour. But that didn't happen. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm going to try to keep you updated on this to see, you know, because they should have the right. But most of the people I knew were Christians anyway. So I want to move on to some awesome, amazing news. This is coming out of, where's this out of? Forbes.com. This is from Forbes. The Surgeon General believes it's high time for marijuana reclassification to make it a Schedule II. And if it's a Schedule II, that would mean that it's prescribable from a doctor's point of view. They can have better testing so they can be tested more. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Because with it being reclassification, I don't know if that means if it's instantly legalized to where, or would it still be illegal under the government? You know, would it just be, you know, I don't know. But they're saying that, like, they want to, that the Surgeon General's basically, from what I've read and what I've seen, is that he wants to look into it more for, like, a medical standpoint. But I don't know if it's going to be something where, I think they want to try to get it to where, okay, you're going to have one or two strains, and it's going to be, here's a medicine that has THC in it, here's a medicine that has CBD in it, and there you go. You're not going to be able to have, like, 75 compounds. Okay, let me try. Deadhead. Let me try Girl Scout cookies. Let me see if there is a way that I can take, okay, Girl Scout cookies, a high THC and a high CBD strain like a Charlotte's Web or a Sour Diesel, and grind them together so that when I mix it and smoke it, I'm getting the best of both. Or I take them and I extract all the stuff out of it and I make my own oil. You know what I mean? So we'll have to wait and see if it gets classified to a Schedule II drug that has medical benefits, and would that change the legalization status of it? Would it still be considered federally legal? And they, even though it's, you know, would it be like to where if it is a Schedule II drug, to where you would have to have, you know, you'd have to have a prescription somehow, and how would it, you know? And I think even if they rescheduled it today to a Schedule II, you wonder how long it would be before you would actually be able to get it. And then it may be something where, okay, yeah, your doctor recommends it, but where are you going to get it? How can you get it? You know, so, but it's interesting that at least they want to make it a Schedule II drug. So we'll have to wait and see, because I think they just see the possibility of the billions of dollars to be made out of it. Now, hey, let's cash in. Cha-ching! I want it to be where you can still get it from a regular person. So like I can still go to a dispensary and get it. But the thing that has me concerned is, like I've talked about before, with all these CBD oils that have little to no CBD in them. Especially the pet varieties. A lot of pet varieties, they said, had nothing. Like, you would, like, give your pet hemp seed oil for first cold press hemp seed oil, and you'd actually have better, you'd have more CBD in the hemp seed oil, and there's hardly any in that, you know. But it's just one of those things. It's nice to see that people are looking at possibly reclassifying it, not. And where it would go from there, that would be a huge step forward. But I think they got to do something because, heck, it's legal in Canada. They basically legalized it in Mexico. But you still, I think it's going to be one of those where there's still going to be states where, we actually want to come down on it. We actually want to make I know it might be legal. The U.S. might make it federally legal to use, but we're gonna put a ban on it. Okay, it's going to be like a death. Yeah. We're just going to put a death penalty. So if you get caught using it, you're just going to be put in the electric chair. Yeah. You know, it's that bad. You know, we'll just speed up the process since it's so deadly and dangerous. But I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program. And hopefully I want to try to get a hold of Irvin Rosenfeld again and try to get him on the program. With my brother dying and stuff, it was a really bad fall. Granted, it's I normally deal with, I have that deviated septum, so I normally deal with crap loads of, sinus infections, and I haven't had one, so I'm like, cha-ching, I'm on a two, because someone at work's like, yeah, I got, my nose is so bad, and this and that, and they're on like, all these meds, I'm like, buddy, I love it when I go to the urgent care, well, yeah, we want you to take, okay, I already, when you take like two nasal sprays and all this stuff, and you have sinus, okay, I don't know what to tell you. Call your ENT because I was going to prescribe you everything you're already on. So, but only if they had a, I wonder if, yeah, can you get like a THC nasal spray? Would that help? I don't think it's antimicrobial. It might. As people ask me all the time, like, can this cure this or that? Because I looked into THC for, you know, cannabis for my blood pressure, and it would just make you, like, if you're really, like, stressed out, it would mellow you out. So it wouldn't, I don't think it really, like, lowers the blood pressure. It would just unstress you so you can. So we'll have to wait and see. But it's just, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if this reclassification happens. You know, because, I mean, reports are coming out that cannabis use is skyrocketing and opioid use is way down. In places where they've legalized it, opioid uses are plummeting. And I think what's going on is these pharmaceutical companies, hey, we're not making as much money. We got to do something. You know, they're basically like the tobacco industry. Well, first of all, folks, if you're not targeting kids, very few people at age 18 or 21 are starting to smoke. You got to get them before they realize how deadly tobacco is. And I wonder if the pharmaceutical industry is like, hey, we got to do something here, because with all these regulations on opioids and the fact that, you know, they're legalizing cannabis, the opioid uses are plummeting because of cannabis use. We got to get into that market. That's billions of dollars that we're missing. We got to get there. We're a for-profit business, folks. I honestly think a lot of pharmaceutical companies are like tobacco industries. They're a for-profit business. Not that, I mean, because I have people, I guess you don't need pharmaceuticals because you got cannabis. Well, because I had one guy go, yeah, when you break your leg, you're just going to smoke weed. That's going to fix everything. I said, well, Oxy has proven to heal, to start the healing process of bone growth. But I'm going to go to a doctor, you know. My first, a lot of things I'm going to use. Pharmaceuticals are great for a lot of things. Cannabis isn't a cure-all for every single solitary ailment. But hey, it's one of those things. You know, I mean, I don't know. But yeah. Yep, it's just one of those things. I want to thank you so much for tuning in, you know, but it's just neat to see that I think a lot of this has to do with, and that's what scares me with the way this is rapidly starting to change, is that pharmaceutical companies are going to, I hope and pray to God, because they've had patents on seeds. Like Monsanto, I hope and pray to God that there's not, and I might be the first one talking about this, where people are trying to patent plants I know you're a dispensary, but yeah, you're going to have to stop selling that. We own the patents to that, to Purple Haze. You know, and that's what scares me, that some of this is, well, since the pharmaceutical company is losing on opioids, are they trying to cash in on this? Are there going to be people trying to patent, you know, you know, the plant and these chemicals and stuff and make it to where, oh, good, for 15 years, no one's growing anything. Okay, yeah, well, we got a thing where we're going to take a 45% cut of anything you sell cannabis-wise because, you know, we have the patents to that chemical, you know. I would love to see, I bet you, I would love to see if you could try to get a patent for the extraction process of THC and CBD to where it's illegal to do that. And anyone that extracts THC or whatever makes you wonder. Makes you wonder, folks. I don't know. Got about 18 minutes left in the program, folks, but it makes you wonder about that. If there would be, because there's a lot of people scared that if the major industries get into it, you're going to have like three strains. You're not going to have abundant choices. You're not going to have 75 different chemical varietals and to try and say, okay, well, Girl Scout cookies, if I got nausea, this if I got pain, this if I got a headache, whatever the case. We'll have to wait and see. No, I don't know, but I fear that. I fear that there's that a lot of stuff in the works is dealing with what you're hearing from come out of my mouth right now, where it's the pharmaceutical companies and all these other companies trying to cash in. What do I have, folks? I got about 16 minutes, just under 16 minutes left, and I want to get into some exciting Premier League action news and stuff going on. And, you know, the big debate right now in the English Premier League is where do we go? Where does Manchester United go? Where do we, you know, what do we do? And when we look at the Manchester United, you know, if you heard some words from Pochettino, there's talk like, I this is what I think from Pochettino in regards to Manchester United. I think the issue with this is that I think he's looking at Manchester United. He has a home. He wants to be the next Alex Ferguson, but at like Tottenham Hotspurs. And if Tottenham, hey, I can only do so much with the players I've got. If you're not going to spend money to get greater and better players and constantly evolve, then I'm going to go somewhere that's going to give me the better players. Because I can only imagine what Pochettino would do at Tottenham if he had Cristiano Ronaldo, if he had a Gareth Bale, if he had a Koulibaly, if he had Paul Pogba, if he had De Gea, if he had McTominay, if he had, you know, some of these players, if he had really good players. Not that he doesn't have any great players. I'm not you know, but I'm just saying, I kind of get from that comments he's made that I want to be here for a long time. I want to put Tottenham on the map. But if you're not going to give me the players, I'm going to go somewhere that's going to give me and spend money and get great players. And I do that because, I mean, you got to also look at it from the standpoint, what if Pochettino wants to stay at Tottenham and say, okay, we'll spend the money, we'll get you some players. And he stays there. What if Zidane comes out and says, you know, I really don't have an interest at being a manager in the Premier League. It wouldn't matter if it's Liverpool, Chelsea, Manchester City, Man United. It doesn't matter. I just don't want to do it. Sorry. Then are we kind of, our hands kind of tied up? And we're like, okay, yeah, well, we're going to, you know, because we, I don't want to go, I don't want a defensive manager. I don't want that. Sorry. I don't want a defensive manager. I don't want to go back to another Jose Mourinho. I don't want an Antonio Conte. I don't want to have that style manager. I would rather gamble on Solskjaer and go from there. I mean, or try to get LeBlanc. But for me, I think Pochettino basically put big hints out there that, hey, I'm doing the best I can with the players I've got. If you're not willing to spend to get great players, I mean, take Zinedine Zidane. He can only do so much at Newcastle United with the players I have. And unless they're going to spend money and try to get better players and try to improve the squad and get some name talent, he can only do so much. But you take, and I think that's the big hints he's dropped, that, hey, if you're not going to give me the players I need to, because we can dominate if you spend money and get me some good players. But if you don't want to do that, I'll go to a club that's going to give me great players. I mean, I think we're close to getting the deal with Judy Ball, even, you know, I think some of these players wanted to come to United, but, if you got Jose Mourinho, I wonder how many of those players, like a Gareth Bale, kind of basically said, you know what, if Jose Mourinho wasn't there under the table, yeah, I would stay at United. If I would come to United if we didn't have Jose Mourinho. I would come to United, you know, and I think he may have some of these players that now, like, hey, I want to consider United now. I see optimism. Even if they keep Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I see optimism. But it's going to be interesting to see how they fare against PSG and some of these tougher teams, like when they take on Liverpool or some of these higher-end teams. Because I think right now they're just kind of playing by the seat of their pants. Okay, we're just having a great time. We're going out there and, you know, and the fear I see is look at how good he's doing right now. And that's just going to, the roller coasters. Eventually, I kind of look at United right now as like an inflating balloon. Eventually, if you keep inflating it, it's going to break. And, you know, let's see how big it can get. Let's see how big it can get. And then, oh, wow, that's bang. Oh, you should have stopped so we could have kept it. You know, and it's, you know, and it's only a matter of time before the top of the hill plateaus and then we go down. I mean, when we took on Reading and it was a 2-0 victory, it showed we have a lot of work. It showed that, yes, we're improving under Solskjaer, but there are problems way beyond the manager. You know, there's some deadwood that's got to get out of the club, and there's some players that got to go. And we need to be ruthless and say, hey, these are the people we got to go, and these are, you know, and I will say this, you know, because there's evidence that, you know, like some of the management went to, what did they do? They went and they asked for the opinions of some of the players, like, what do you think about, you know, like they asked their opinions about Jose Mourinho. And when they ask about, you know, you don't ask the opinions of Jose Mourinho, because I remember there was a game with Roy Keane, and when he got on one of the talk shows, he criticized, well, we could have done this, we could have done that. And as soon as you think you're better than the manager, Alex Ferguson said, bye-bye, and he's done. And you shouldn't be asking the players, well, who do you want as manager? Now, I could see I could see a player going up, hey, if you get another damn defensive manager where we're just trying to quick score a goal and then try to defend, I don't want to park the bus anymore. I want you to get someone in here where we're going to be trying to get, I want to be seeing like 9-0 games. I want to have 50 shots on goal. Just kidding, you know, but seriously, I want to see an attacking style of football. But it shouldn't be up to the players. Well, who would you want? No. The board should be, this is what we're going to get. This is what we're going to do. If Pochettino stays at Tottenham and you have Zidane saying he doesn't want to be in the Premier League, period, not United, but the Premier League, that's just not his cup of tea, then okay. Then I could say, you know, we may have to gamble or try for LeBlanc. You know, so it's just one of those issues. Yeah. One of those issues. I got some stuff in my ear, and it's just hilarious. Because, like, if you saw what I was talking to about the beginning of the program, how flipping and stuff, it's just amazing, you know, how things change. You know, how people want one thing, and then when someone else is in, they want something else, you know. It's, you know, and getting back to the football, it should be up to the owners saying, this is who we're going to get at Manchester United. We've talked to Zidane. He doesn't want to be in the Premier League. It has nothing to do with anybody. It wouldn't matter if Chelsea, it wouldn't matter. Chelsea could offer him $100 million a week, and he'd turn it down. I would take $100 million a week. You know, I mean, and it's just kind of be interesting to see where, because I honestly think, I think Pochettino's in Tottenham's hands. I honestly truly believe he will go to United probably in a heartbeat because he's Premier League proven, and he's like, hey, this is as good as I can get with the players I have. If you're not willing, it's like I look at Solskjaer. He's going to peak out with Manchester United with the players he's got. There's deadwood that's got to go, and they need to bring in new talent and get rid of some deadwood. They need to start planting some new trees. They need to bring in some trees that are halfway grown that need some maturing. They need to bring in some new trees, and they need to plant seeds so that hopefully in 10 years, some of these players are ready to go. In 5 years, we need to get in some 25-year-olds, and hey, they got some room to grow, and they've got 7 or 8 years left. You know, we have that, you know, and I think Pochettino is someone that I think is Tottenham – says, this is what you're going to do. Well, this is all I'm going to be able to do for you with the players I have. If you aren't going to invest in this club and get some great players in, keep the great players I have, get in more great players, get rid of some of the deadwood, I'm gone because this is the best you're going to get out of me. If you want to fight for second or third, go ahead. I want to fight for first. I want to dominate. And I think that's basically what it came down to. And I think if Tottenham, you have to look at Tottenham to see if they're going to start doing a lot of transfers and spending money and trying to bring in some high-end players. If they're not going to try to do that and try to give him the ability to be the great manager he has with great players, he's gone. I think he will leave if they don't start giving him some better players and spend some money and invest in the club. And I think that's what he's basically come out and said. Hey, I can only do so much unless they start investing in the club. Done. And I think, because I had some questions about some of the things he'd done this year, but then when you look at, like, he's basically, hey, I can only do so much with what I have until you invest more money and get more players and better this, I'm done. I think if he had better players bam. Because I was just thinking about Dave Moyes. He needs some great players. Once he gets some great players under his belt, he'll be able to dominate. And when he got some, well, he got, when he got Fellaini, I'm like, oh, shit. Nope. I don't know what anyone saw in him unless they thought, well, it was him or nobody. You know, they didn't have a choice. I mean, I honestly think instead of David Moyes, they should have said, hey, let's get Ryan Giggs or someone to be an interim manager because there's no one really available right now. And when someone becomes available or we put our feelers out and we get someone and he says, okay, January, I'll start at the club or whatever. That's what I think should have happened. You know, because Dave Moyes was the, you know, Fellaini was the downfall at club. You know, he just had, I mean, we're not a long ball club. But I think if, you know, I have question marks about Zidane if he would even coach in the Premier League. Granted, I mean, who wouldn't take, who, I don't know who wouldn't, I don't know who would not turn down the job at Manchester United if they were offered it. But, you know, I wonder if Zidane would even take the job. So we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be interesting as we move forward, folks. And I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of. And don't forget, it's January. Yeah, at the, I'm waiting for, well, I'm surprised they don't have Easter stuff out yet, but they already got Valentine's Day stuff out. I want to do something kind of cool for my wife for Valentine's Day, but since we're going to be moving in between there, I don't know if I'm, I may have to wait till after Valentine's Day to try to surprise her and do something cool. Yeah, during February, my conversations are kind of be askew, so I'll keep you updated on that because we got to move. So it's going to be, I'm taking like 10 days off to move. So we're trying to box up stuff as we can and try to move everything. So it's going to be interesting, but you know, it's Valentine's Day, so do something cool for your wife. Let her know you love her all the time, not just Valentine's Day. So don't do it. See, but I dated someone that, like, you could do something every day of the year for her, but if you don't on Valentine's Day do something, I mean, you could buy her a dozen roses every day of the year with 20 helium balloons and a dozen roses every single day of the year. But on Valentine's Day, if you don't do anything, she'd be like, you know, I mean, she would lose it. She'd lose it, you know. So, but if you have a wife like mine that loves you, surprise her on a day that's not Valentine's Day and do like something ultra special. So, but I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And Valentine's Day is coming up, so don't say I didn't warn you. Do something for your wife. Hopefully, she's one that loves when you do stuff for her all the time, and if you didn't do something on Valentine's Day, she'd be okay with it if you do it all the other times, you know, because if you love your wife like I do, Valentine's Day should be every day, and cherish the times you have in your life, because you never know when you're going to take your last heartbeat, you know. Just remember this, folks. With a firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until this coming Thursday, good night, goodbye, and God bless.